We're talking today with Steve Verrett from Plains Cotton Growers. Steve, we're coming down to the end of the growing season. A lot of the crop has already been harvested. The ginning process is underway. It does look like a pretty good crop across the southern Great Plains.
Yeah, this is going to be for the high plains of Texas, and I know into even southwest Oklahoma, it's going to be probably the best crop we've had since 2010. It's going to be very important. That crop's needed by our infrastructure. You know, the drought since 2011 has really taken a toll on much of our infrastructure, certainly our ginning infrastructure, and we were at the point that we could lose some of it if we didn't have this volume of cotton. So from that standpoint, it's very good. And, you know, we've got a lot of growers that are making some above average. You know, I talked to a good friend of mine in southwest Oklahoma, Danny Davis, talking about his crop. He was very pleased with it. And we have some of that same in the High Plains area. And the quality's been good. But we also have areas, as always, you know, it's not always the same. Folks' yields are somewhat disappointing. They didn't get the rain they'd like to have had in August and September. And price, the quality's not where it needs to be. So from a producer standpoint, it's going to be a very tight year. This pigweed problem, or resistant pigweed, has added at least $30 an acre of cost to our producer. So with these prices, and if you certainly, if you've got a marginal crop, it's not going to be good. But overall, for our infrastructure, which we got to have, it's going to be the best year we've had since 2010.
I know, not wonderful prices, but yet it seemed like cotton held up better than some of the other spring planted crops.
Well, I think it's kind of relative. I guess we haven't seen as much decline on cotton, but cotton was already there, had already declined, you know, before the grains did. You're right, you know, the grains have seen the most decline this year from the beginning of the year till now. But we're all kind of in the same boat together now. We really need, from a cotton perspective, it's the demand side. Certainly all the extra stocks that are sitting in China are holding a cast over this market, but really it's a worldwide demand issue for cotton that we really need to see an improvement in to kind of pull this thing back up.
Right. Well, one of the things I know that Plains Cotton has done a lot of work on, and we've now kind of let the dust settle a little bit on this 2014 farm law that really pretty dramatically, you know, changed and kind of singled out cotton as far as safety net is concerned. Is that going to work for our producers?
Well, if we can get it in place, we believe it's going to be very beneficial. Is it going to be the thing that's necessarily will save everyone? We don't know yet and can't promise that. But the fact of the matter is, as you've already mentioned, cotton was treated differently. And, you know, we can hash the reason why and everything else, but it happened. It's because of what happened with WTO.
Right.
And we have a Stax program, but we're not eligible for ARC or PLC. So we really have no real price protection in this farm bill like the other covered commodities do, whether it's through PLC or ARC. And so what we're attempting to do is try to go through the secretary and get the designation for cotton seed to be designated another oil seed, much like sunflower, much like cranberry, any of the other minor oil seeds. So he has that authority. The authority was given in the 2002 Farm Bill. And so we're just going to do everything we can. We're working right now with a lot of the ag banks that finance cotton operations to get them to sign on to a letter talking about the serious nature of what it's like in the cotton industry right now. And we're hopeful that we're going to be able to make some headway in that regard.
You know, when you look at where we are just overall for a safety net, a lot of challenges to the crop insurance program. I know that kind of adds on to the worry of what you've got going with the other elements of your safety net.
And that's right. And, you know, I'd say the fact that you brought that up about what happened with crop insurance and in the budget bill here a couple of weeks ago, you know, all of us in agriculture know that we didn't do the best job we could have during the 14 Farm Bill as ag groups, not our leadership, not Frank Lucas, not Mike Conaway and those guys that did everything they could. But we in agriculture didn't do a great job of kind of all getting on the same page. We ended up kind of shooting our own self in the foot a lot of time. We cannot do that anymore. And what happened with the budget bill here a couple of weeks ago and the threat to crop insurance, where all of agriculture was on the same page, and it wasn't just the leadership, it was the grassroots people that were calling in, writing letters. Congress heard from us, and we got that deal turned around. Wasn't taken out of the budget, but we got the best assurance that could be given to Mr. Conaway by both, and Mr. Peterson both, from both sides of the aisle. And that shows what we can do, still can do in agriculture. Agriculture can, when we're all pulling the wagon together and going in the right direction, we can accomplish a lot more. I hope that's a lesson learned, and we'll be doing more of that as we go forward.
You feel pretty good about the assurances that we're given?
I do. I can't, and somebody asked me, well, is it going to happen? I said, I can't say for sure. But, you know, all I can say is, we can hold their feet to the fire just like we did in the calling in. If they try to go south on us, that's what we're going to have to do. But, you know, when both the majority leader and the speaker gave assurances to Mr. Lucas, and Mr. Conaway, and to Mr. Peterson,
right,
that's the best. If they say it's good enough, it's got to be good enough for me. So we'll be there to help support them.
Right.